Welcome, everyone, to the Integral Christian Network podcast. I'm Luke Healy, and today I'm here with Tia Norman, who is a meditation guide, spiritual teacher, and pastor of Awakenings, Inc. And Tia and I met at a new contemplative community creators retreat, and we'll talk more about that later. But I'm excited to be here with Tia. And as you may know, if you're listening to this for season three, we are focusing on collective transformation and community. And so we'll be weaving that into the theme of our conversation. But Tia, welcome. It's so good to be here with you.
Thank you, Luke. I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, well, I wanted to start off by letting you share a little bit about who you are and some of your story a little bit, what brings you into this work, how you came to be doing what you're doing. I know that can be a long story, so share whatever it is from that you'd like.
Yeah, thank you. A little bit about who I am. You mentioned that I am a meditation guide, a spiritual teacher, and I also serve as a pastor. At the core of that, I'm someone who is very passionate about the spiritual journey. Very curious is probably a word I would throw in there too, about the spiritual journey and what that means for our lived experience. And to me, it's very important that whatever I share as it relates to those things is to the best of my ability, something that feels accessible and relatable to others. So really focusing on how can we see the spiritual aspects of our lives in our day-to-day interactions and experiences. And what drew me to this work is really kind of a crisis in my own vocation and in a personal relationship. I was in a space in my life where it felt like both of those worlds are really crumbling. And I was not raised in church. I was raised with, thankfully, this idea that I did have access, that I could pray. And so I just found myself in this really dark period. And through that and during that time was introduced to contemplative practices, specifically silent meditation and centering prayer. And that just opened up this world of lots of questions for me and kind of diving into contemplative spirituality.
Yeah, lovely. And we'll get into a little bit more of that, I'm sure. The word that stood out to me when you were speaking was seeing, and not growing up religious, but having that access and being present to the spiritual journey before the religious journey started. Maybe I'll phrase it like that. So what are some of those things from maybe when you were a child or when you were much younger that gave you kind of insight into that, maybe sparking that curiosity or, the seedbed of this passion that's has led you to live how you're living now?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing that comes to mind is actually an experience that I had as a child. My great grandmother passed away when I was very young, probably within the first year of my birth. And I remember that my mom always used to share how much she loved me, how much my great grandmother loved me. And I had this experience as a really young child where I was in the bathtub and I felt her presence. I just felt like she was there. She was with me. And so I think that is probably my earliest memory of a quote unquote like spiritual or like mystical experience. And then there are just sprinkles here and there of awakening. And some of those from really, really dark spaces and places as I grew older. There was quite a bit of abuse in my home. I grew up in a home that was both riddled with substance abuse and physical abuse. And like in the depths of one of those very dark periods, there was a point where I just cried out for help, just in a room by myself. And I felt in that moment that I was being held, that even though my circumstances were really desperate and not something I would wish on anybody, I felt this presence with me, and it brought me a lot of peace, a lot of calm. And I reflect on that moment quite a bit. That's a moment that has not ever left me. And so when the storms of my world start brewing and the winds start blowing again, that is definitely something that centers me. That presence is something that I still feel with me, even in this moment.
I love that, Tia. And as you know, at ICN, we don't shy away from the mystical. And, you know, as we talk about community and collective transformation in various ways, yeah, one of those is the face of God beside us and the spirit presence that comes to us, like being held in a beautiful way that, as I hear you describe, is timeless, or it's eternal. It's always here, right? You can feel it now. It was in that moment, but it's always with you, which is just, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And as you describe, yeah, sensing your grandmother at a very young age, yeah, I just want to open up some space to be with that, that presence with community, with those who are with us, maybe on the other side, with ancestors, with spirit presences. What from your experience, either now or in the more recent days, is alive for you in that arena, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
That's funny that you ask, because when you ask, it's like, I feel like there are so many moments, and if I try to grasp one right now, it's like, if you wouldn't ask me, I could have told you. But but there are, I would just describe like these little like whispers of hello, or little almost like a wink, you know, in day-to-day experiences, whether that is like a particular type of flower. I remember this was a pretty recent, I mean, within the last couple of years, there were some things going on in our home, and I was just really, really like aching for my grandfather, who I called my papa. And there was a car in front of me, and the license plate said Papa on it. Like, you know, and so there's just like those little things that, I mean, you could dismiss those things and call them coincidence. And that, you know, that's all fine and good, but I just choose to see that as a way of being told like, hey, I'm here. You're not alone. You know, just that little whisper, little wink.
Yeah. A little glimmer of presence. And
A glimmer of presence. That's perfect.
And I love how you talked about, I mean, those moments are, I hear you saying how they're so just interwoven and kind of regular. They're not necessarily something special that you're like, oh, you know, that you mentioned grasping, like it, when you try to grasp them or hold on to them, that they're kind of elusive in that sense. Right. Cause they're just so, I guess, woven in the subtext maybe, or just those little moments. Yeah. I love that. So you I think you alluded to it earlier as well. You weren't always a pastor. You did some other work before. And what can you talk a little bit about your transition into moving into this way of vocation? And we could talk about that term pastor as well. I know you've done a lot of thinking about that and being with that and feeling into what that means. But let's start with how you came into doing this.
Yes. So I professionally was working in corporate sales, specifically in sports marketing. And I really enjoyed doing that and had a lot of wonderful experiences as a result of that work. And at that time that I mentioned in my life where things were kind of falling apart at home, I was also starting to feel unfulfilled in my work and thinking like maybe I was supposed to be doing something else. And so it was a time where I thought, really, you know, it wasn't making any logical sense. I had what seemed like a very secure job. I was making a very decent and good income. And what was happening inside of me was I felt like I was being pulled and drawn to this work in, I didn't even know what to call it, ministry, you know, and I just was thinking like, this just makes no sense at all. And so for a while, I thought like, I have completely lost it. I am losing my mind. And as far as I know, ministers don't make a lot of money. So not only am I losing my mind, I may lose my house. Like I thought, you know, but that feeling is just something that would not leave me alone. I started to feel as I was going into the office day to day, like it was hard to get out of bed. Literally walking in the building, I could feel heaviness in my chest, difficult to breathe. And it was almost like my body was saying, hey, if you're not going to listen to your heart here, you know, you're going to have to listen to me. Like, this is not where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of just listening to that pull or that tug or that curiosity.
Yeah, you're being drawn. Like, what could you name that at the time? Was it like a sense of just more or
it felt like a pull. It felt like a pull, and eventually it felt like a push, like lady, go, you need to go do this.
Go do what?
Yeah, exactly. It was just this sense, just this feeling that this contemplative path and the world of spirituality was where I needed to explore. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you do?
So thankfully, the community that I'm now serving as pastor of, was already in existence. And I had asked a friend, who's very close to me. I said, you know, I'm kind of in this awkward space. I, at that point had read the entire Bible. And so I was sharing with her, I have a lot of questions and I really am looking for somewhere where I feel comfortable asking these questions. And, you know, I don't want to feel judged about it really. I want to be able to raise these things and have them land in a good space. So she recommended, Awakenings. And so that's how I landed there. And thankfully, Awakenings has had this culture of allowing people to incubate their dreams and follow their curiosities and give it a try. And so this space was created for me, where on Wednesday evenings I hosted a gathering called Contemplate. And so we had a time of meditation and then a discussion. And then that really opened up the possibilities and kind of the path for eventually becoming the pastor.
Beautiful. And I know a little bit of some of the story of your alternative seminary training. We might call it that of the
That also added to me thinking I was losing my mind, because I kind of was bargaining with spirit. I was like, okay, if I am going to leave this corporate job and explore this world of spirituality, then I guess that means I'm going back to school. And that was a very clear no. It was no, that is not the path for you. Whatever you do, it should feel accessible. Specifically, what I heard, and I don't even know if heard was the right word because it wasn't like audible. It was like, don't get a piece of paper that makes it seem like you're accessing something that everybody doesn't have access to. Mm-hmm. And just find people who are serving and loving and leading in a way that you would want to follow. And so thankfully that path has also unraveled or emerged, showed itself. But at the time, you know, it definitely was a space of like, you don't see the full staircase, you just see the first step. It was like, just take this first step.
Hmm. Oh, Tia, I love that so much. It's like the courage and faith that shows. I mean, it, like you said, a little bit of that, am I losing my mind? There's like a some side of faith, right, that turns into a sense of what might seem crazy, quitting your corporate job, your well-paid, you know, doing in this, don't go to seminary, don't get the piece of paper, right? But there's an authenticity to that way of being present to the reality that was drawing you, though you couldn't necessarily name it or describe what it is, but you had this intuition and this voice, really, right, saying it's not this, it's not found in a piece of paper, it's not found in academic training, or, you know, there's this sense of guidance in that, and also inner faith that is really wonderful.
Yeah Thank you. And I also want to share, you know, it wasn't just my inner dialogue that was like, okay, Tia, you may be losing it. There was, you know, friends, family, people who were like, you're doing what?
What?
You're going to do what? So, you just get it from all sides, you know. It's like, okay, well, that's a really big change. I remember my mom saying like, okay, well, are you going to be getting paid? You know, like, are you going to be getting paid?
yeah, fair question, but you know. Fair question. But not the ultimate one, right? Yeah. I remember in my journey toward the work I'm doing, it was like, there was kind of this, you know, one door closes, you open a kind of traditional Christian language or whatever. And I remember telling my mom, well, sometimes there's a hallway between this door and the next door, and you can't see the, exactly. We don't like those hallways though. We don't.
Exactly.
So you got those voices of, question but you also got some voices of support, and you did get a reading list in a very interesting way, right? Some ways to study into further learning. How did that, can you tell that story of how that?
Yes, I can tell that story. So, I was like, okay, if I'm going to learn from people that I would want, who are serving in a way and showing up in a way that I want to show up, like who are those people? And the first book that I read after I read the Bible is it's right here, actually, funny enough, is What We Talk About When We Talk About God by Rob Bell. And so that was the first book that I read, and then I through that was introduced to his podcast, and I was like, that is the way that he's speaking is really resonating with me. And so that's someone that I would want to learn from. And So he did this book tour for another book, How to Be Here. And unfortunately, I wasn't unable to make it when he was here in Texas. So I ended up driving to Oklahoma. And it was basically a two-day event. One was like a chat at a coffee shop. And then the following day was more of a one-way dialogue where he was sharing. So at the coffee shop, I raised my hand and I asked him, I said, what would you say to someone who feels called to seminary? I'm sorry, not seminary. What would you say to someone who feels called to ministry, but not seminary? And I said, I basically would like to get everything that you have in your head and just put it in mine. And so he kind of looked at me and laughed, and there was a little bit more conversation. And he asked if I was going to be at the event the following day. And I shared that I was, and he asked for time to be with my question. And he told me to find him at the conclusion of the day two. And so I did that. At the end of day two, I went up to him and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to create a school for you. And I went to like hyperventilate. I'm pretty sure I told him to shut up. And then there was a bit of like a blank period that I don't remember. But essentially what he said, we're going to create a school for you. We're going to email you a list of books and read those books. And then when you need more, email us and we'll send you more. Now, what year was that? That was probably 2017, maybe. So then 2020, 2021 rolls around, everything's online. I sign up for this kind of Zoom gathering that he's having. And as we're in the Zoom room, he's like, hey, didn't I send you a list of books to read? And I said, yeah. And I still have not read them. And then he just kind of like tilted his head back and he just did this big laugh. And he said, it took me 20 years to read those books. So needless to say, I am still making my way through the list. And grateful for it.
Well, yeah. And of course, as we were saying before, the books, the study is a part of it, but it's also how you're embodying that and how you're coming into that calling, which is so much more than the knowledge, the paper, the knowledge is important, but you are embodying that in your community, in this space, right? On Wednesday nights and having this contemplative time. So how did that shift into you becoming the pastor of Awakenings?
Goodness, how did I ask myself that every day? how did this happen? Right? It's definitely something I could not have orchestrated on my own. I feel like I'm just participating in this, and this is where I feel that I am supposed to be at this time. But essentially what happened was I was leading this small group and then got invited to kind of curate other groups. So, in addition to the Wednesday meditation, really recognizing the gifts of others within the community, and then what would that look like for them to also have their own offerings. And so of course that was a big part of my formation. And then, I talked about, you know, the tug and the push, like the pull and the push. Mm-hmm. So the push came when I got let go from my job. So I was doing both for a while. And then I was told that basically I was no longer needed in the office. And so I told myself, I said, okay, for 40 days, I have enough money saved. So for 40 days, I'm only going to do work that I love. And so continuing to share about the contemplative dimension of the gospel and sharing through Awakenings was one of those things. And then eventually the founders of Awakenings, Marlon Hall and Danielle Fanfare, There's a third person, Diallo Smith, and he had, before I arrived at Awakenings, he had already moved out of Texas. But Danielle and Marlon both were also exploring other vocational paths. And so Marlon, he never would have called himself the pastor, but people would have called him that. He said,
"What did he call himself? What did he call himself?"
He called himself, what did he call himself? It'll come to me.
Wasn't it curator of,
curator of human potential is what he's been known to.
I see. Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he shared with me, he said, you know, Danielle's going to go on and do this work. He at that time had become certified as a yoga teacher. And he said, I feel like I'm supposed to take my ministry to the mat and return to my work as an anthropologist. And we'd like to name you pastor. And if that's a, you know, he told me, you don't have to call yourself that. You can call yourself whatever you want. But essentially was gifting me this opportunity to really live into this in a new way.
And how did you respond to that push and pull and invitation?
I was so grateful and also terrified, and definitely, you know, willing. It felt like a big yes, like, yes, this is what I would love to do. But a lot of fear and a lot of excitement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you did decide to take on the term pastor, right?
I did. I thought about that for quite a while. And it was really, so one of the books on the list recommended by Rob Bell was Eugene Peterson's memoir, which is titled The Pastor. And I still have not completely read that book. But I have read it far enough to hear about kind of his way that he viewed being a pastor, as the pastor not being the center, but someone who is more or less witnessing to and pointing to the center. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I can do that. That feels good to me.
Mm. So as pastor of Awakenings Inc., what are you pointing to? How is the center expressing itself in your community these days?
I hope it's access. I hope that initial, you know, don't gather anything that makes it seem like you have access to something that everybody doesn't have access to. I hope that's what I'm pointing to, mm-hmm. that a relationship with the divine is available to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how are you finding that you cultivate and curate and incubate that in the space of the community, or how do you receive that from the others in the community who are doing that as well? Mm-hmm. I'd love to, yeah, just kind of lean into that space of what your community is like. I mean, you mentioned before about how, you know, it helped incubate you and, grow you into this space that you're in now. So yeah, tell me a bit about the feel of the community and what's alive and what people are bringing forth and what's going on there.
Yeah. So, you know, there of course have been a lot of changes, not only with the transition of me becoming pastor and Marlon and Danielle going on to do their own things. So anytime you have that change in leadership, you know, there's certain things that are called into question, and there's a transition within the community. You know, I understand that what I am sharing is not for everybody. And so there's been a lot of learning around that. You know, it's, I don't know if we talk Enneagram, I'm a two. And so the approval and the love of others is so important to me, and just being aware of opportunities not to take things personally, and to trust spirit. And in doing so, really taking this kind of, you know, look at like, what is it that is here? What exists in our community? Who are the people that are here? What are they curious about? What are their gifts? What would it look like if they had space to share that with us? So what the community feels like, I hope, is a place where people can explore that. We do have a Sunday gathering. We don't call the Sunday messages sermons. We call them truth communications, because the idea is that everyone has at least one truth about their life experience and their experience with God that we can all learn from. And so, I think that kind of feeds into the accessible part of it, and also the diversity, you know, because there's so many things that we can learn through our diverse experiences that kind of serve as like a cross pollination, like you would see in nature, you know. So how our gifts ignite the gifts within each of us, which we call that the blessing. We actually have a time in our gathering called the blessing. And what we say then is that the point of the blessing is not to give something to somebody that they don't already have. We're igniting a gift that already exists within them. So I think that really resonates throughout the community. It's an intimate community. It has been around, this is the 18th year. And because it has been this space where people can incubate their ideas, you know, you're not meant to stay in an incubator. You are meant to grow and move outside of it. And so that happens a lot. So although the community is, you know, intimate when we gather on a Sunday, there are many people who kind of have their heart and their roots connected to what they were able to grow within awakenings.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Tia. As the church is, you know, a space to help people develop and flower and you know, come forth into the fullness of who they are and grow those gifts. And, you know, that is like just a beautiful vision of not a stagnant space of kind of, you know, staying put and circling the wagons and, you know, coming being together in sort of the same way. And I feel like, as you described, how you gather is very reflective of that, where there's sort of this collaborative element to the truth sharing, right? To the things that people bring forth. It's not, you know, a 40-minute message, or, you know, I got to experience a little bit of it online one time, and was just struck by, you know, people, someone sharing some poetry. And can you talk about some of the elements of what that looks like in different ways of how people bring forth that creativity in collaboration?
Yeah, so we do have a form, so to speak, and we want to make room for spirit to move within that form. Typically, a Sunday gathering includes a community builder, which is a question that is asked by someone within the community, not by me. And it's a way that we go from being spectators to being participants in the experience. So the question can, you know, it can be anything. It's gone all over the place. And it's
what was the question this week? What was
it's always interesting. This week was recognizing the 50 years of hip hop. So it was to share a hip hop memory or how hip hop has impacted your life. And so that was anything from, you know, fashion to songs to movies. And so you get a lot of different responses.
And what was your answer to that? What
I actually didn't respond to that.
Okay.
I didn't respond. I try, you know, I feel like I'm saying enough. And yeah, so sure. I try to let other voices. Sometimes I chime in, but I didn't respond to that one. The would you rathers are really, you know, you get interesting ones. Like, would you rather be like stuck in a car with a wild monkey or, you know, have to run away from a lion? Like, what? Why do I have to choose?
Yeah, I hate would you. I'm like, no, there are always more options. That's probably my Instagram five-ness, right? Like, no, we're not.
So the community builder really sets the tone, though, as you can see, for our experience. Like, it's kind of sets the energy for it. So we have that, and then we have a beautiful woman in our community named Reese, and she writes devotionals. And so she has a moment where she shares her divine whispers with us. So she reads what she has written. And we also have the blessing, which I shared a little bit about already. And so someone from the community creates that on a weekly basis. And then all of the music in our community is original. And so we have a artist in residence who's been there for quite a while. His name is Dennis Cisneros, and he is the most amazing guitarist that I have ever heard. And so he plays for us. And then we have the Truth Communication. And most of the time there is also room for dialogue, to ask questions and to make comments. Part of my formation in exploring Jewish spirituality was this really beautiful thing that I think is kind of lost in our Western traditions right now, is the space to have dialogue and questions, and even to disagree within those dialogues and questions based on the agreement that we're all here because we feel like there's something bigger at work than ourselves. So having conversation is often part of our experience.
Hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. That sounds wonderful. I love that, that rhythm and that structure and the, space within that for folks to share. And you mentioned some of the earlier about the contemplative and bringing that about. And I think that's what you're referring to. And you said, you know, some things are not for everyone, or what you're sort of offering from your gift and passion and curiosity to the community. How are you bringing forth that these days?
Yeah. So when it, I was speaking to, because when I started my small group, I was essentially inviting people to come sit in silence, which that's not, you know.
The marketing poster was just like black wall. Yeah.
So, yeah, come sit in silence with me for 20 minutes, you know. So you'd have like one person show up, or, you know, two people show up, and which is great. That's fantastic. But, you know, now what happens is, okay, the Tia who is leading this silent small group is now going to pastor our community. Like, what? So how that has kind of found its way into our Sunday gatherings and our community as a whole is really a desire for me to kind of take a look at the contemplative aspects of the gospel and find modern day parables, right? Or things that are happening in our daily life to try to make it seem relatable or a bit more accessible. So it's not all like, you know, Meister Eckhart, or, you know, just this like thing where your mind is like, I just don't know what what you're trying to share. So is there a modern day way to understand these very ancient teachings? And so that's been a challenging and also a really fun way to bring those aspects into our community.
Yeah, would and you...
you'll have, you know, we have a gentleman who has been a part of our community for a long time. And what starts to happen is he made a comment. He was like, you know what? I just realized like what you're sharing is something I've already been doing. Like I have this quiet time in my backyard, in my garden, and I just sit there, you know? So part of it has also been this beautiful recognition of how these are things that we are already kind of innately doing. We just maybe have been calling it something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or separating it out as this, eclectic, you know, 16th century German, you know, like out there with lofty language and some, you know, of course that's beautiful. And, but I love that. Yeah. That element of just bringing it right to the here and now, to daily life, to what things are already. Yeah. Part of how we live and calling them forth and recognizing them. I've got to hear you kind of do that in your truth sharing a couple times, and you do that so well. What are, would you, not to like ask you to repeat a whole a whole truth sharing, but do you have like an example of that, a story of a way that you did that maybe this last week or within the last months that stands out or comes to mind right now?
So recently what I shared, we've been talking a lot about identity and image and the language of the false self. And this earlier this summer, I'm pointing this way to my left.
To the back, to the...
Yeah, my neighbor.
Oh, your neighbor. Oh, okay. You're pointing to your neighbor. I got you.
My neighbor, yes. It's my neighbor's house. There was, every morning I would get up, I'd be in the kitchen and I'd get a cup of coffee and I could hear like this tapping, tapping, tapping. So I went outside and I looked and there was this cardinal who was just repeatedly flying into the window over and over again. And I just had this thought of, well, first I wondered like why, what would drive it to do that, you know? And then as I watched it more, I thought, how often do I get up in the morning and attack my own image, you know? And so just using that kind of example in nature to look at just how we speak to ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, and start to explore the language of the ego or the false self has been something that we've done recently.
Yeah, and that's back to the seeing and the curiosity around moments that, you know, are before us and happen, and it takes a moment of leaning into and being with that contemplative seeing, right? That element of like, mm-hmm. I'm not just seeing this cardinal, you know, fly into a window. It's a mirror. It's a reflection back into our own experience and what we can learn and be with from that.
Yeah. Very much so. And so I did, you know, what anybody does, I Googled, why do cardinals do that?
And Google. Yeah.
The two reasons that I found are, one, that they do believe it's, you know, a reason to fight, like they're what would you call that? An adversary, right? Mm-hmm. The other reason, and also who knows the reasons why cardinals, who's studying?
Yeah, how do they figure that out, right?
That's I don't know, but it was on Google, so I believe it.
Yeah. Well, he didn't ask ChatGPT at least, so, you know, we can still trust Google, right? I don't know.
Exactly. The other reason is because, speaking of the mirror, that a window creates this reflection that looks like the bird can fly, and it's actually an illusion. And so, you know, using that as a, as also a metaphor of like these, you know, illusions that we kind of buy into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like going to work every day at a job that isn't feeding our soul, right? Or
exactly.
Yeah. Shadow boxing or, yeah, that's just, that's a great example of one of those things that's just, you could very easily turn from that and be like, what a weird bird, like open the door, or shoo it away or whatever. Right. But just that, it's that contemplative stance, that sitting in silence, that attentiveness to being with reality in deeper ways that opens us up to that sensitivity for that man to recognize, oh, I do that in my backyard with, you know, with a cup of coffee or whatever, just this moment of silence or breathing in. And so you're cultivating those, that awareness that's pointing to the center for folks. I love that.
Thank you.
So what is something your community is teaching you right now?
Oh my goodness. So much. The most recent, I mean, there's so many things, like, you know, just what it means to companion people, to care, there was, I think it's Eugene Peterson also, who said that people deserve more on a Monday, you know? And so I think about that. I think about the connections that are available outside of Sunday. And yesterday evening, we had a community member, his father just passed away. And it was pretty late in the evening, and we have like a group, an app where we all can communicate and share, you know, things that are happening, prayer requests and things like that. And so I sat there because it was pretty late in the evening, and I was like, I could share this with the community. I don't know. I just was like not confident in sharing it at that time. And this morning, you know, I get up and there's a text message from someone who said, hey, I think, you know, so-and-so lost their father. So I guess I'm sharing that to say, like, the connection, the genuine care, you know, that's available in community. As someone who, I don't have any siblings. Of course I have family, but there's, you know, I shared a little bit about what that has been like. And so they just provide this beautiful example of like how you can show up and love each other. And it's just been such a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That care and companionship and just walking through the things of life. You said last night, which was a Monday night, so we're more on Monday than a Sunday. Community is so much about that element of going through births and deaths and experience alongside people who care.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's happened recently, because I did quite a bit of travel this summer connected to contemplative things. So like speaking and things like that. And I purposely took road trips. And the last road trip that I was going on, I was sharing with a small group, basically the people who I can lean on when I'm out of town, they would truth communicate. So I was sharing with them like, hey, I have this opportunity to go to Austin. And they were like, well, we want to go. And so it just turned into, it was a really beautiful moment for me personally, of reflection, because to go from being the lady who had the silent meditation where one person showed up to now a group of people saying, like, we want to go out of town and experience this thing together. Mm-hmm. You know, just this reminder of even when it feels like we're traveling alone, we're not alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. What else? Is there there's something else that's alive here that you want to talk about, or anything you feel drawn to share?
I don't think so. Not.
Well, I've got something maybe actually. You mentioned that you were traveling for some contemplative things. And I think one of those places that you went was to your sending at the Living School for the Center for Action and Contemplation. And part of that was a piece of paper of completion. And you talked before about, you know, your relationship with that way of things. And certainly that's a different piece of paper than, a seminary diploma or whatnot. But can you share a little bit about your experience with that? And
That was one of those moments where like a whisper moment, you know, because what there's somebody actually asked Father Rohr this. They were like, is it true that you used to tell Living School graduates to burn their to burn their sending certificate? And he said no, that is not true. What was so beautiful about that is that on the certificate, I wish I had it here near me, it says this little piece of paper. And when I read that, I laughed and I cried a little bit, because it felt almost like this confirmation or affirmation connected to that feeling that I had about not getting a piece of paper. When I read it, and I know you can put any type of tone you want on it, but it just felt like, hey, this is just a little piece of paper. Like, you did this thing, you had this experience, you know, and here's this little piece of paper. So that was definitely one of those moments where I was like, oh, okay. And then there were other moments, like going back to this feeling that I had that I was to learn from people that I wanted to serve and love, like the Living School faculty. I mean, if I was going to start handpicking wisdom teachers to learn from, I mean, that's like a dream, you know? So to even find myself in that space, all things considered, was really beautiful. And then the final thing I would share about it is I was introduced to centering prayer and forms of silent meditation because of a period of silence that was very noisy for me. So essentially there was a gentleman, his name's Jack Willamy. He introduced me to centering prayer, but before I knew who he was, he got up to speak at a podium, and he didn't speak right away. And it was in that silence that I noticed the stories I was making up about Jack, like, why was he nervous? Why wasn't he speaking? And then I started to notice like how noisy my own mind was. So I was like, why is it so loud when nothing is being said? And then there was this moment during the Living School sending ceremony where Jim Finley was invited to speak. And he didn't speak right away. And what I realized is that instead of it feeling awkward, I felt so comfortable and I felt at home in that silence. And so that's just another one of those moments where it's like, okay.
Yeah. Was that before or after you got your piece of paper? Because that would have changed everything if you had known. Yeah. It was the paper that made you comfortable in that side. No, of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't that little piece of paper. I mean, I love that, how you're describing this almost apprentice model of, these are the people that I see that I want to, I mean, you mentioned that before with Rob Bell and the living mm-hmm. school teachers. I mean, it's this way of, I want to live that way, right? I mm-hmm. want to know what you know, right? Yes, but I also want to embody that. I want to inhabit the silence, the presence, like we feel in mm-hmm. when we're around those people. And that doesn't come from a piece of paper, but it comes from sitting alone with one or two other people in an empty room. It comes from going on road trips together with with family and chosen family. And so many beautiful ways that presencing to spirit, to aliveness, in the context of life, as you've shared with your community on Sundays and in the spaces in between, and just pointing to that center and living from it. And you do that so beautifully, and I just appreciate so much you coming and sharing about that and talking with me about it today. So thank you
for the space to share.
And in addition to your work as pastor of Awakenings Inc., I know you also have some other spaces that people can find you, or other work that you do, if you want to share a little bit about that here so people can look that up if they want.
Sure, thank you. So I do visit with people one-on-one on occasion, and so that is a possibility. And I'm working on some courses at the moment. I offered a live course and would like to continue doing that, but also offer some that are accessible whenever people have space to engage with them. And so all of that information can be found on my website, which is my name, Tia, my middle name, Ariane.com. And I mentioned Google earlier. I think if you just Google Tia Norman, it may come up somewhere. if that middle name is a bit too much to grasp.
The spell. Yeah, to get the spelling right. mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Or your Instagram, I think, is pretty easy to...
Yeah, my Instagram is the number 2B. Just the letter B, and Tia, T-I-A.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, yeah, I encourage folks to seek Tia out, especially if you're in the Houston area, right? That's where you are in Houston. Uh-huh. Yeah. But also beyond that, because we have this wonderful way of connecting with folks wherever we are through through Google, and doing, like you said, online courses and things. And thank you, Tia. It's been a pleasure, and appreciate the time.
Thank you. This was very fun.